Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is 8:20. Just a clarification, I see that the Discovery AGM is actually on the 25th. It is not tomorrow, but either way, I am going to share that information on social media at some point. Right, it is 8:20. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM. We have been following the story of the tensions, the sanctioning of certain Israeli political players and everything that is going on what is called the West Bank, Judea and Samaria. Yisrael Maidad is an educator, columnist, a media analyst, and a resettler activist. I never know if we'd like to use these words. Is settler an okay word? Yisrael Maidad, good morning.
I don't approve of it because it sort of indicates a connotation of foreigner.
Correct. I don't like this word either. What does it mean, settler? A settler means you're colonizing. That's not what this is about.
That's absolutely true. I simply say residence, or I try to create a new term that hasn't taken catch very much. The word is revenant, someone who's come back.
Wow, I don't even know the word. I think that's probably why it hasn't caught on, that no one knows what it means. Revenant is...
That's right, from the French, revenir, which means to return after a long absence.
Wow. Okay, listen, it's hard enough to learn it in English. Let's not worry about the French right now. But, okay, so this has long been an area of some contention. And the fact that I see that Mike Huckabee used Judea and Samaria as a reference point and not the West Bank, does that signify an important shift?
I'm trying to keep it tuned to the news that the United States is not very pleased with these several countries, I think five of them, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. who have sought to sanction members of the Israel's cabinet, supposedly for encouraging either crimes, which of course have not been committed, or interfering with the policy of a two-state solution. This is not the way to play the diplomatic game. First of all, these people do not have bank accounts, as far as I know, in England, Norway, or Spain.
Right.
And I happen to know two of them, not as personal friends, but I've seen them and I've worked with them at times. They have no intention of going to most of the countries listed.
Right.
So I don't think it's an ineffective step, and I think it's just playing up to their own internal politics because of their large Islamic population that's beginning to influence their internal and external policies.
The problem is not necessarily about them, but it's about the messaging here, because it means that it's a warning to anyone else that if you exercise free speech, and if you express an opinion that makes certain countries or the population in certain countries uncomfortable, then there's a good chance that you are going to be internationally impacted. My worry here is not about these guys, because ultimately that'll get sorted out one way or another. It's about the message to everybody else in this very, very dangerous environment. Your thoughts?
I, of course, would agree with that. The point is, of course, is that the intent here is to avoid resolving the immediate problem, which is why does not Hamas stop fighting and release the hostages,
sure,
and allow humanitarian aid freely without any threats to get into Gaza? In other words, in a sense, these countries are exploiting the situation of the poor Gazans who can't move, who are being held the Gazans are being held hostage by Hamas against Israeli attacks. They're doing the suffering. The Israelis are being suffered. And these countries are ignoring that. There's no pressure on Hamas. There's no pressure on the negotiating countries like Qatar or Egypt to do something about this. And Israel, or in my words, the Jews, are getting blamed for something they're not responsible for.
Right, right. So how does this play out now? Because unfortunately, there's been decades of Hamas, Gazans, Palestinians, terror groups not being forced to take responsibility. No matter what happens, it's never they don't have agency. They aren't given the agency to even be responsible for their own behavior. How does that change?
It's got to change by simply saying that we recognize the fact that historically and currently, not only Hamas, but the Palestinian Authority are continuing to reject options of peace, options of reducing terror and violence, options of possibly, and I would say for sure, benefiting the economic, environmental, and health resources of their populations and getting them moving on. They're fighting these governments, especially England, which I would have to remind our audiences, even those who don't like history, that in 1939, when it was the mandate of Palestine, the British closed the gates and therefore sealed the fate of the Jews during World War II, who couldn't have any place to get to. That they forget about, but they're interested in the fact that Israel is engaged in a defensive war, defending itself, and it's not applying any pressure or comparable pressure to what they're doing to these two ministers to anybody in Hamas.
Right. So what happens in terms of the future of the region? Because that remains, in terms of Judea and Samaria, that remains an area of uncertainty, doesn't it?
It continues to be uncertain. And as I learned when I spent several years in England, you say, sir, you're not being very helpful. No one dares tell a prime minister or a Mr. Starmer or Mr. Macron, etc., that they're simply wrong. I think some of the voices now coming out of the United States, if I'm not mistaken, will perhaps correct that balance. But Israel has to stand strong because it's not a matter of policy. It's a matter of existence. It's a matter of lives. It's a matter of our future. And we cannot yield on this matter sanctions of this minister or that minister or what I would call a diplomatic black eye.
Very, very interesting, and in some ways very concerning, in some ways very much of the same, because this has been the battle that has been fought for thousands of years. Yisrael Meydad, thank you for that. Educator, columnist, media analyst, and Yesha Reset. No, we're not going to call a resettler. We're going to call it, oh gosh, what is the word? That's the word, revenant. So someone who returns. I mean, it could be a ghost or as well, but we're not doing that. We are talking about a revenant, someone who returns to a place. It is 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.